Father, do you forgive me? Do you forgive what I have done? Mother, do you still love me? Could you love what I've become? Could you love what I've become? Could you love what I've become? Diaspora babies, we are born of pregnant pauses, spilled from unwanted wombs, swallowing invisible ink poems written in the margins of a map of a place called no homeland. Old Gong Gong, honored uncle, is the man I won't become. Barbecue pork-scented sorrow and red bean paste buns he sold on street corners in Chinatown, handing out sweet bread and stories for 75 cents each. Red meat and red hands, red meat and red hands, red meat and red hands, stained by the winter wind's violence as the goddess of mercy, watched pitying from her curbside altar. Diaspora bodies, we wrap lips around pregnant pauses, spill salt fluids from unwanted bodies, squalling invisible ink poetry written in the margins of a map of a place called no homeland. My boy makes me breakfast the morning after. He's the air I breathe. Love-flavored oxygen, I taste him everywhere. Sun-dried orange peel candy, like the kind we used to take on long car trips. The color of his skin, brown, salty, sweet. We gorge ourselves on love, not thinking about tomorrow. There's never enough to fill your skin, never enough flesh. We open our mouths for stories, sun-tinted histories, no room for mercy. Diaspora secrets we enclose in pregnant pauses, right on the walls of unwanted wombs, invisible ink poetry spilling from the margins of a map of a place called no homeland. Red's the color of my mother's scars, as though the goddess of mercy went finger painting across my mother's face, a mask made of things we don't talk about. There are some stories that are never told but known. We bake them into bread, fill buns with secrets like sweet lotus paste. What can't be cured must be endured. Chinese families don't talk about our feelings. We wash them down with pork. Do as you're told. Eat what's in your bowl. Swallow it, bitter or sweet. Some violence we keep inside our bodies. Scar tissue. Love, what love? The kind they show in Guaylo films. Chinese women don't even speak about love because we know that people will laugh at us. Some bodies can't be touched. Some poems cannot be written, just felt. Diaspora haunted, we hunt for pregnant pauses, give birth from unwanted yellow wombs, bodies like invisible ink poems, ghost children drawing maps in the margins of a place called no homeland. Thanks, y'all. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for coming. It's so happy to see you here. I'm so happy to see you here. Yay! Give yourselves a round of applause. I'm especially happy to see so many of you here because, guys, it's Thursday night, and you are at a poetry event, so the joke is on you. I am getting paid to be here. Don't know about you. I'm so grateful also to the Atwater Poetry Project, particularly Dina. Thank you so much for all the work you've done. I don't know where you are now, but there was a lot of work. There you are. Thank you. And really honored to be reading with Trish, who is going to be reading after me, carrying, you know, all of the power and beauty that she always does. I'm like, whoa, I get to read the same reading as Trish Sella. The joke is on you. So I'm just going to read a few more poems from this book called A Place Called No Homeland. And also maybe a chapter from this book. I wasn't going to read from Fearsome as Notorious Liars because, to be honest, it's selling a lot better than this one. I don't know why. You know, normally poetry does so much better on the market than fiction. That was a joke. Whatever. You're supposed to be in the book world. God. Raise your hands if you are or ever have been a creative writing student. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Anyway, but they don't have this one for sale, which is okay. So I'm going to read a chapter from this one. So you buy this one. I come to these things, and when I used to perform, I used to be like, I'm going to talk a lot because I don't like to perform that much anymore. And also because politics are important. I was going to talk about politics, but right now mostly my politic is buy my book. Which, you know, you can fit, right? Like, you know, like funding the niche economy of trans and queer literature, which is a real thing. Trish and my publisher, Metonymy Press, is here tonight. Baby in tow. That's like the level of dedication to trans and queer lit we see. And we'll be coming out with a new novel really soon by Lindsay Nixon. Oh, wait, it's not a novel, is it? It's nonfiction, which is really exciting. So a round of applause for independent publishers in the back. Yeah, so I beseech you, do buy a book of mine and also of Trish's and support the trans feminine literary economy. That's not neoliberal in any way, I don't, anyway, politics. But also then do go online and buy this book because I need the sales to keep going up and up and up. Okay, so, sorry. Just read the poems, Kai Cheng. Just read the poems. This one is called, Its Name Was the Boy Without a Penis. I don't normally trigger warning my work. I feel complicated about the trigger warning thing. And I used to say that a lot, but now I'm like, oh God, coming up and being like, I have a nuanced political argument about this practice. That's overdone. This is a poem that's really close to my heart and also has a lot of intimate violence in it. So please take care of yourselves as you would like to. I'm not going to be offended if you need to take a break. Some people called it the Twinkie without a Winkie, or occasionally the Dickless Wonder. It didn't mind. Never wanted for other names. It never knew anything different. It lived in corners and cupboards and holes in the wall and corners and cupboards and holes in the wall. It knew a lot about holes. The things that hide there, the things that get stuck in them. Spent nights in the Grickle-grass garden its parents had stopped planting long, long ago, long, long ago, long, long ago, long, long ago. Stood with its bare feet in the dirt, whispering to the moon, make me precious, make me lovely, make me unlonely, make me a star, make me precious, make me lovely, make me unlonely, make me a star. Like Gollum, like Ginsburg, like gratitude, like grace. Like Gollum, like Ginsburg, like gratitude, like grace. I am with you in Eden, where the serpent is longing for Adam. I am with you in Eden, with your fruit caught in my throat. It wondered about the hollow space, the gap, the gaping hole where its penis could have been, could have not, should have, because there was so much potential in that piece of virgin real estate. So many options to try, a bouquet of roses dethorned, of course, or a tiny zoo of origami unicorns. The boy without a penis liked to curl up in corners and dream up cinematic fantasies, all featuring the place between its legs, like smuggling diamonds across the border, a handful of gemstones blazing inside its body like hidden fire. In the place where a penis could have been, the boy stored memories and sunbeams and secrets and dust. Memories and sunbeams and secrets and dust. Stories that were not about emptiness, but about growing, about changing and being whole. I am with you in the homeland, where my spirit is waiting for the body it left behind. I am with you in the homeland, a flower tucked between my thighs. The boy without a penis wanted to know things and see things. It wanted to laugh long and loud and raucously without the fear of shame. It wanted sushi and sex, possibly, but not necessarily at the same time. It craved a sensation of touching, heart pounding, and shivering in the rain. It wanted to learn about the stuff, all the stuff, like what makes the wind howl and moan in pleasure or fear, how to give people orgasms, how to grow tomatoes, and the name of the person who lives in the moon. So it struck out on its own, left cupboards and corners and grickle grass behind, to seek out wider places, whistling a song to the wind. Oh, oh, the places I'll go, the places I'll see, the loves that I'll know. Oh, oh, the places I'll go, and the wind whispered back, beware, beware, there are wolves out there. Beware of wolves in the wide, wide world. I am with you in Avalon, looking for dreams in the mist. I am with you in Avalon, remembering the future we had. The boy without a penis walked uphill and down dale, through bush, through briar, went to cities, scouring concrete canyons and the thumping underground, looking for a job, for sex, for beauty, for blow. Everywhere it went, people wanted to know, where was its penis? They didn't understand about holes, about sunbeams and secrets and memories and dust, and they were disgusted by the scent of brickle grass that still clung to its skin. Go home, they said. It's no offense. Just, you're not a good beauty. It's not that I'm intolerant. It's not that there's no way I could just, it's never be, could ever be a friend with you, want, or you want to have sex with you. It's not that you're not attractive to me. A person like you will get eaten by wolves. You had better go home where you can hide, where you'll be safe. And the boy without a penis began to wonder for the first time about power, began to wonder for the first time about rage. Stories began to blossom, crimson colored between its thighs. I am with you in Rockland, where a storyteller is screaming our names. I am with you in Rockland, and your skin tastes like rebellion. The boy with no penis began to put sharp things in the place where a penis could have been. Started with pushpins and thumbtacks and needles and knives, a collection of razor words to carve the shape of the truth of its desires. The boy ran through alleys and climbed gates and stole what it needed at night, learned to fight like a wild thing, to wait in the dark for predators to come and stab them. But the blades it kept hidden deep inside itself listened to the echoes of the howling of wolves, and which whispered to the moon, "Make me dangerous, make me strong, make me untouchable, make me whole, make me dangerous, make me strong, make me untouchable, make me whole. I am with you in Gomorrah, where the angels are raining hellfire. I am with you in Sodom, with a mouthful of ashes in my kiss." They hunted the boy with no penis, the way they hunt wolves, with poison and cages and torches and guns, but they never found it, never caught it, never killed it, never could, never found it, never caught it, never killed it, never could. They tell terrifying stories about the things it does in the dark. "Makes love to monsters," they murmured. "Eats small children and runs a drug smuggling gang and keeps a machine gun cocked in its crotch." Some of these stories are obviously false. Some of them are true. Some of them are becoming true now. The boy with no penis is watching, is waiting, is biding its time, is watching, is waiting, is biding its time. A pack of wolves runs, howling prophecies at its back. It is waiting for strange and rare creatures who have always known its name, waiting for time to tell, stars to fall, war to start. Time to tell, stars to fall, war to start. It is waiting for monsters, for Moloch and the signs of the bones. It is waiting, 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 it is waiting for you. I am with you in blood. I am with you in ash. I am with you in memory. I am with you in dust. I am with you. 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 We are here. Similar trigger content warning for all the poems that follow. Queer tribe. What is this queer community that everyone keeps talking about anyway? I see you there, teetering on the edges of dance floor and consciousness, but girl, I'll give you this. You know how to work that ass. How gracefully you slip and slide, gliding like a sequined angel on a roller coaster out of heaven. You shake those hips like you shook your fist last week at the manif on Rue Sainte-Catherine. "Fuck tu, fuck les flics, cops are bastards," you screamed. What would you say if I told you I called the cops once when I didn't know what else to do to stop a man from raping me? I called you too, but you didn't pick up. Last week, the girl who came up from behind and strangled me at a party got hired to be the co-coordinator of the biggest rad social justice nonprofit organization in town. I told you this and you said I needed to think about the bigger picture before saying anything. Who said anything about saying anything? I'm good at keeping secrets, as anyone else in this scene. After all, if there's one thing that all of us trannies, faggots, dykes, butches, femmes, kingsters, fairies really have in common is that we know all about how to hide the truth in plain sight. It's also true about Canlit. 3 months ago, I saw you slam your fist into your boyfriend's solar plexus in the middle of a crowded room. He was asking for it. No one did anything, said anything, stopped you. I get it. You were traumatized, triggered. Sometimes you just can't control yourself. Though I noticed that you never hit me back anymore. Not since the time I grabbed your arm, twisted it behind your back, and told you, if you ever hit me again, I will end you. Why is it fear stops us from hurting each other, and love seems to do the opposite? I could go on and on for ages with examples. The head volunteer at the campus university food security project once raped me. I myself, a lauded local poet, have been emotionally manipulative and crossed lover sexual boundaries, it's true. If I hear another old white queer tell me that I should be grateful for their revolutionary work in the 80s while grabbing my ass, I think I'll twist his arm too. Is this the fruit, then, of our tribe's rebellion? A Stonewall and Sex Garage and ACT UP and Queer Nation? We chew each other to the bone while getting into Facebook fights with liberals and flipping off the cops? Where are our elders? Who can teach us how to justice? Not just on Tumblr, but on the dance floor, in our homes, in each other's arms. I think we gotta stop fetishizing survival. We're all survivors. That's why we bleed so much. I used to think blood was beautiful. I have to remember, we are more than scars. Gotta stop fetishizing the dead. Sometimes I need more than ghosts to fill my stomach, my pockets, my bed, my poems. I need to live for the living. I want to be able to honestly tell the difference between those who didn't make it and those we left behind. It's okay. Great. I was asked for 25 minutes, and we still have a lot of those minutes left, so you're mine forever. Okay, let's all take a deep breath. It's nice to see you all. I don't even know all of you, but it's cool that you're here at this college reunion. I know you. called out. I know I seem like a really cynical, formerly quirky, manic pixie, dream, trans girl thing, but really, I'm very hopeful and optimistic, and I want to bring a message of hope to you. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought that was a thing to, I don't know. Just buy my book. sorry. So has anyone read the work of Amber Dawn? Woo! If you haven't, do it now. I don't know. Amber Dawn's great. Amber Dawn is like a seminal queer poet whose work like covers a lot of ground, particularly in the area of queer femme love and sex work. And she kind of like revitalized, as some of you know, the like form of the glossa, which is a poem comprised of, come on, creative lit students. No. What's a glossa? No, not those of you who have read the book. Fine. All right. You're not getting your money's worth, so the joke is on you. A glossa is a poem comprised of 4 verses of 10 lines, each of which end with a line from a quatrain taken from someone else's poem, and in that way kind of like builds a lineage of poetry. Amber Dawn, herself inspired by P.K. Page, wrote a book called Where the Words End and My Body Begins, comprised of poems that are glossas based on work of other queer femmes. And every queer femme ever now has been writing glossas. So this is a derivative piece that I'm about to read you, and you're going to like it. It's called Shelter, a glossa for Amber Dawn. And the quatrain I've chosen, it comes from Warsan Shire's For Women Who Are Difficult to Love, also a poet that should be widely read. And that quatrain goes like this. You can't make homes out of human beings. Someone should have already told you that. And if he wants to leave, let him leave. It's for women who are difficult to love. Write it down. Put it in your phones. I know you have your phones with you. Okay, anyway. And you're doing it now. Whatever. Didn't really mean that, but it's fine. I took shelter from the war against my body in the crevices formed by the angles of your bones. This was my first, my chronic mistake. But can you blame a burning woman for the error of seeing salvation in the darkness of a fever dream? Just so, I clambered into your ribcage, reclined in the shadow of your spine, all the while knowing you can't make homes out of human beings. Still, I sure as hell tried. After all, hadn't I survived the minefields of date rape, a fusillade of past lovers' fists, onslaught of doctors, prescribing my body and my brain into oblivion, all in order to get to you? What couldn't or wouldn't I do to hold on to the miracle that you said you loved me? The notion of romance was always intended for biological warfare. Someone should have already told you that. So I made a wet fortress from the framework of your skeleton and skin. Put my tongue between your teeth like turning a key in a lock. Built a fire between your legs to keep us warm. I guess I hoped that your naked flesh would be armor enough to keep up the rain, the past, the unwanted advances of man on the street, the reality of the job market for trans women today, race wars igniting in North America, the possibility of dying violently or worse alone. Slid myself into the spaces between your hips, thighs, your nipples, lips, hiding from the thought, and if he wants to leave, was it me or you, or does it take two, that turned the circle of our arms into this private battleground? Are you keeping me safe, or just keeping me here? Am I holding your heart, or just holding you down? I want to find the place where my fear ends and your body begins. There is some kind of ghost trapped inside the shelter we made of our bodies pressed together, and it's time that we let it leave. Cool. A sharp eye on myself in here, and I see that I don't have as much time as I thought, so I'm not actually going to read from this novel, but just trust, it's the best novel ever written, and just buy it for yourself and all your friends. I'm going to read one last poem before turning it over to the amazing and wonderful Trish Sala. This poem is called Three Love Stories, and it is three... Oh, my goodness. I think my boots come undone. Oh, no. One second. Okay. Don't look at my boots. They're covered in salt. This is in Montreal. You know, like it's snowing, and it's disgusting out there. Maintenance of the roads has not improved in the past 2 years that I moved away. Three love stories to Montreal. So it's for you. One, white hipster queer. That's for some of you. When I stepped through the door of the hipster cafe, where all the white queers with asymmetrical haircuts and tattoos of weird things, like cats and vegetables, like to hang out and talk about Judith Butler and pretend that they aren't gentrifying this formerly working class / Hasidic Jewish neighborhood, your head will turn. You will think to yourself that I am the one who does not belong with my thick, black, ethnic hair and darkly made-up Asian eyes and mouth plump and luscious and the stub of lipstick that I inherited from a femme poet sex worker auntie. White queers are always thinking that other people don't belong in the places they have decided belong to them. After finding out that we were neighbors, a campus butch once told me indignantly that they didn't think I was the kind of person who lived in St. Henry, as though white transmasculine boys in Oakville were indigenous to Montreal's old factory district. For reasons you do not understand, your heart will begin to race, and your palms will sweat, and you will swallow hard with the throat suddenly run dry of a radical queer politics and the latest, most fashionable pronouns. Your eyes will linger over the sweet curve of my Adam's apple, slight bulge of my rosebud breast, languorous swell of hips and thighs, leading down to the sharp clack of 2-inch heels. You will look again. Notice the telltale scars on my arms, the mark on my face where the shadow of my father's palm still burns 9 years later. I don't wear foundation. I am today. Don't try to soften my masculine jaw or disguise the lines at the corners of my eyes. Honey, I am 26 years of age. That's an old, hard femme in trans woman years. I don't soften anything. As I walk past your table, you will keep on looking. You will stare and stare, not knowing why. You've never even touched a body like mine before, but I guarantee you will dream about it. White hipster queer, I am the most beautiful girl that you have ever seen. 2, airplane military sex dream man. We meet sitting next to each other on the airplane to Halifax, and your body starts a conversation for you. All blonde hair and blue eyes and legs a mile long and biceps big and round of grapefruits. You can have anyone, anything you want, your body says, and what you want is to talk to me, and I'm surprised at first, before I remember now that I'm a petite Asian lady with good bone structure, rather than a gawky, skinny, effeminate Chinese boy. Remarkable, the effect that repackaging has on the market value of a product. You're a military man, you tell me, a combat veteran, and currently a search and rescue specialist. And then you ask me what I do. I think about telling you the truth, that I'm being flown to Dalhousie University to perform my trans femme survivor poems to an auditorium full of sensitive college queers. Instead, I say that my name is Anastasia. That I'm a guest lecturer in a research conference on childhood mental disorders. You can take the hustler out of the boy, turn him into a girl, and put her in grad school, but you can't make her stop hustling. All's fair in love and mile-high flirtation. Your eyes light up at the words child mental disorder. You start to tell me all about your autistic son, his obsession with cars, his gift for mathematics, the service dog you just applied for, how your wife couldn't accept the diagnosis at first, how she cried and cried as you held her in your bedroom at night when she was sure your son was asleep and couldn't hear her. It's the moisture that wells in your eyes as you say it that I like most about you, as I nod and murmur and tell you what a good husband, father, man you are, as the edge of your palm brushes mine and you blush pink as the lights in the plane go down. Airplane military search and rescue man, I wish I could tell you about all the nights I dreamed of you, wanted you, burned and inked and wept, knowing I could never have you, be held by you, be safe in those muscled arms that once held a machine gun and fired it at people of color in distant countries far away from the house your son sleeps so soundly in. Heterosexual said you didn't want me because I was too fucked up, too weird, too ugly, too gross, too freaky, faggot, tranny, whore. Radical queer said I couldn't love you because I was betraying the revolution with my desire. Well, airplane military sex dream man, let me tell you a secret you might not understand that I am just beginning to learn. Let me tell you, as the lights go down and your hand grips mine and your skin blushes hot, I can love you. I can love whomever, whenever, however I want. 3, trans femme warrior girl. All I can think to say is thank God we're trans. Thank God for childhood spent learning how to stoke the fires of wanting to come and become in secret. We could have just been normal boys. We weren't. We could have just been normal boys, content in the violence, no privilege, no wanting, no waiting, no fierce heart and magic made from the sacrifice of blood beneath fingernails, thank God. for our bodies, before the lingering hairs dusting the hollow cheeks and points of chins that return each morning and resist all plucking and shaving and trimming and bleaching and waxing and lasers. We are that tough girl, that hard to beat up and chow down, that hard to eat up, to make disappear, thank God, for our hard-won, hard-family glamour, for the charms who grew out of bodies lush as gardens and hardy as weeds, thank God, for the locks who grew out long and dyed unapologetic colors like neon pink and sea green and deep ocean blue in honor of the warrior fairies and mermaids who pretended to be as kids, thank God, for your lips so awkward and soft as we kissed for the first time, thank God, for the broad arch of your shoulders as I leaned into you, thank God, for the palms you pressed against mine, thank God, for the jokes you made about converting to political lesbianism as we searched for something to love in each other, uncertain if we still remembered after entire lives being taught how not to love ourselves, thank God, for the mingling of our perfume and sweat, for the fingers you crept up the back of my skirt, for the jangling nerves of my imperfect consent at once wanting and waiting and not wanting to stop wanting, thank God that I wanted me, wanted you, thank God. For the beat of your pulse, the heat of your skin, the thrust of your abdomen pressed against mine. Trans femme warrior girl, I am reaching for you, thank God. I will sing our song for as long as I live.